All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing good? Good. You guys here? Everybody's here. Everybody's ready to go. Week 6 of Grow Track 2. All right. Before we get started tonight, I just want to say a quick prayer as a class for Megan and Jeremiah. They're not here tonight. Megan got pretty sick over the last couple of days. She went to the doctor and everything's okay. But we just want to say a quick prayer for them and then we're going to dive in tonight. All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just lift up Megan and Jeremiah to you, and I lift up their whole family. God, I thank you that you are a healer. I thank you that after being so sick, everything is okay and that she is getting better. God, I just pray that you would touch Megan and that you would just be with their family and that you would take care of them. Continue to heal her, Lord. And I just pray that all of the worry and concern that I'm sure is consuming their thoughts, I just pray that you would give them your peace in the midst of this. Continue to heal her and make them whole and bring them back safely next week. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. So as we jump into week 6, we want to talk a little bit about our homework from last week. So we had a scripture verse to memorize. Does anybody have the memory verse memorized and ready to go? Nobody is jumping into action. Anybody else? Any of our non-dream teamers? Anyone who's not a table host have this verse memorized? Come on. Someone has it. Oh, you guys. There we go. There it is. But let me not forget to get you a free Cafe Aroma drink. I think we have them in the back. All right. Very good. Romans 6:23. It's a good one. Phyllis said it. All right. And guys, let's talk about our soap reading. What was the reading from last week? I think we jumped into the next book. We're finished with John, right? Jumped into Romans. All right. Romans, man, that's a lot of good stuff. Somebody talk to me about the soap. Somebody talk to me about your reading from this past week. Don't everybody jump in all at once. Somebody share something that jumped out at you.
I will say something that was, I think, on John 21. The thing that, you know, Jesus, when he talks to Peter, and he's asking him, you know, do you love me? You know, 3 times he says that. And each time, saying, first of all, he says, feed my lambs, my translation. The next one said, shepherd my sheep. And then the next one said, feed my sheep. And I circled every one of those, and I thought, you know, he's giving us instructions. We need to be feeding. That means care, you know, giving them instructions, giving them the word, you know, teaching them his ways. And then shepherd my sheep. That's caring for them. You know, and each time he's telling him this, this is what it's all about, you know. Finally, Peter gets it. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So. It's very good. Such a great passage in John, the redemption of Peter. What else? That's so true. So good, Chandler. Who else?
In Romans 2, verse 13, it says, merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God.
So wow.
Just a reminder, I can come to Grow Track, I can do my study, I can, but if I don't do
Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Yep. Romans doesn't play around. What else?
Romans 1, the just shall live by faith, and so we live from faith to faith. It's not a feeling. You know, it's a conscious decision to trust God. That's what struck me. It's a conscious decision. We have to decide, you know, to trust God at all times, for all things, in every circumstance, every detail of life, you know. And this world just seems to bombard us with opportunities to not trust, but yet we can trust.
That's so true. We can trust him no matter what's going on. And I love that, Michelle and Mark, what both of you guys shared kind of tied in with what we talked about last week. We talked about that that our faith is useless without works. And we talked about what was the topic that we jumped into last week? Character and integrity, right? And so like that living and walking out our faith, that's what really counts to God. And we have to trust him no matter what the circumstances. So love that the Bible reading just so happens to tie in with what we're learning right now. So that's exciting. Anybody else? We have time for maybe one more. It's powerful. Good. Thank you for sharing. Thank you all of you guys for sharing and for continuing to read God's word and allowing that to really soak in and learn and apply it to your lives. So I love that you guys are doing that and engaging that every single week. So this week we're continuing in our section on Live Like Jesus. So let's really quickly, we're going to do a quick recap from week 5. We already established last week we talked about character and integrity. Can somebody jump back in your notes and give me the definition that we use for character? Somebody shout out that definition of character. Right. One's moral and ethical code of values and behaviors. We learned that cultivating Christ-like character is not just something to be flippantly done or just take it as it comes, but it requires intentional, deliberate actions in our process and our development. We talked about a couple of bodies of water that are kind of similar to the development of our character. What were those bodies of water? Rivers and canals. Somebody tell me how river can compare to our character. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So a river just goes back and forth, it ebbs and flows with whatever things are around it that influenced it as it was being formed. But a canal is formed with a specific purpose. It's got a strategic purpose in mind. It doesn't need to ebb and flow because it's built for a specific thing that it was intended to do by whoever created it. And God has a specific things that he's intended for us to do. And so he forms that path for us that he wants us to follow. And so we want to try to be like that canal, that we're following that path that God is carving out for us because he has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. The second thing that we started to talk about was integrity. Somebody give me that definition. Integrity. Right. Integrity requires harmony between what we do and what we say. All right. Just like we talked about, for as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Why is it important for us to have harmony between what we do and what we say? We'd be a hypocrite otherwise. Why else? Why is it important for what we do and what we say to line up? People can't believe or trust us or follow us. Yeah, exactly. What else? Helps us to grow, right? Yeah. Yeah. Develops courage, helps us to grow and continue being more and more like Jesus. So we learn that if character is a person's moral or ethical code, and integrity is adhering to that moral and ethical code, then we as Christ followers want to have integrity. We want to consistently follow the moral and ethical code and values of Jesus. And when we do that, we're living like Jesus, which is what this whole section is all about. There's a question that we talked about towards the end of last week's teaching that we said that the presence or absence of Christ-like character and integrity in our lives is summed up by the answer to this one big question. What is that question? Do I do and live what is right when no one is watching? So last week we talked about character and integrity. This week we're going to learn about the key ingredient that enables us to live out Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct. It's basically what we're talking about this week is like the fuel. It's the fuel that pushes us forward in developing character. We're going to talk about some other character traits next week, but we've got to have this key ingredient in order to live out character and integrity. And that key ingredient is, you guys already saw it, courage. So what I want to know is, what do you guys think of when you hear the word courage? Bravery. Someone that will tackle any situation without fear. All right. Someone that will stand up for something they believe in the midst of adversity. In spite of fear. Oh, I love that. Doing something not necessarily without fear, but in spite of fear. I'd also love to know, when you think of courage, who do you think of? And it can be a person from the Bible. It can be someone you know. It can even be a fictional character. When you hear that word courage, who comes to your mind? Braveheart. Braveheart, yes. Hey, no. What else? When you think of courage, who's coming to your mind? King David. Yeah, he was a man of great courage. Who else? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. People facing illness or cancer. What else? Who else? Esther. Oh, yes. I love Esther. She had that courage. Walked in that room. If I perish, I perish, right? Who else?
Noah.
And it took a long time to build that boat, like years and years and years. And who knows what the neighbors were saying and all those things. Who else? Somebody over here. Come on, I know you guys got people flying through your mind.
Well, I originally said Mel Gibson.
Who else, guys?
I know this is probably a controversial time, but Brett Kavanaugh right now, what he's going through.
Yeah.
His family being threatened with their lives.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know, so often we think of the person who is the face of some trial or circumstance or who did something, but we almost never do anything in a vacuum, do we? There's almost always someone or some support system that was around that person, that is around that person, enabling them to do those things. You know, I think of Esther when she had the Jews with Mordecai, and all of her attendants did what before she went? What did she tell them to do for 3 days? She told them to fast and pray for 3 days before she went in before the king. So she had that support system and that prayer that they went through before that. Anyone else? Yes.
Ashley Berry.
Ashley Berry.
It
is today 4 years. That's awesome, Ashley. That's awesome. Yes, Ashley. Yep. Yeah, Paul went through it, and he kept going, and he persevered. Well, great. So tonight, so those are all such amazing examples of courage, and there are probably tons more that we could have listed if we just stayed here the whole night and talked about people who exemplify courage. And so what we want to do is we want to first dive into what courage is and what courage is not. And sometimes what we may think of when we first think of the word courage, it may not be what it truly means at the core of this important character trait. So let's start. What courage is? First, courage is the authentic, spontaneous act of self-sacrificial concern for the defenseless. Now let's rewind. That was a whole lot of words. It's an act of self-sacrificial concern for the defenseless. So this is a person who is willing to give of him or herself because they see someone who's in need. They see someone who can't defend themselves. But the key word here is that it's authentic. It's an authentic act. And so this is not fanaticism. It's not an excessive enthusiasm or intense, uncritical devotion. So this isn't a person that just runs here and there and just goes, and I'm going to sacrifice myself and give of myself, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be to whoever, whatever, whenever it's needed, without any time to think critically and really process and take caution and think through action. But it's something that comes out of genuine character. And so it's that act of being self-sacrificing because of true, genuine integrity and character in my heart. Not because I want to just go and be everyone's savior, but because I want to act because I feel that conviction in my heart. All right. So that's with our first definition of courage. Second definition, courage is that willingness of the mind necessary to act out of conviction rather than feeling. What does it mean to act out of conviction rather than feeling? It's your duty.
Kind of like the spirit man versus the spontaneous response.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So acting out of conviction is following what our spirit man is telling us, and which is going, we want it to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit and what God's will says. And we're not going to act out of feeling, just my emotion or whatever I'm feeling in this instant, but I'm going to act out of what I believe, what I'm, the truth that I know. Exactly right. Finally, courage is that willingness to deny, just like you said, Justin, my own flesh and do what is right and noble. Catch this. Regardless of the cost. Doing what is right and noble, denying my own flesh, regardless of the cost. It takes courage to act out of our conviction to do what we know is right, even when there's a cost, doesn't it? And so even beyond those things that we think of when courage, that person who jumped out, that person who did that great thing, that person who faced that great trial, but at the very base, the most important things for us to know about courage is that courage is acting out of conviction. And we, as Christ followers, must learn to have the courage to act on our faith, even when there's a cost, even when our feelings and emotions are telling us, don't do it. It doesn't even make sense to do that. It doesn't even make sense to go and talk to that person because we've had such a terrible falling out with them. It doesn't make sense to walk down that path because it's probably going to have some difficult times ahead. There's probably going to be some difficulty in choosing that path, that route. But doing it requires courage, right? And so this is what courage truly is. Now let's talk about what courage is not. Courage is not, surprise, bravery. Courage is not bravery. Many people miss the greater truth of courage by thinking of courage solely in terms of bravery. we actually miss out on what God truly is intending for us to understand and embody when we have courage, when we think solely of bravery and these brave men or women who have acted in valor. But courage is a lot more than valor in the face of danger. In fact, sometimes courage is acting when there's not an imminent danger pressing at me, someone who is literally threatening me, but it's when I'm alone and I have to decide with no immediate threat coming to me that I'm going to act with integrity when no one else is watching. I've got to have the courage to do that when I'm by myself and no one else is around. And if there are any consequences, they're not threatening me in this moment. And so it's so much more than bravery. It's so much more than that person who leads the charge out into battle like Mel Gibson, or that hero who is going and going to go save the world, or that person who is going to fight this courageous fight. But courage is so much more than just bravery. Can I grab that book from you, Justin? We guys told you last week about this incredible book, Character Matters. Here it is. This is Pastor Talia's. It's one of her very favorite books in the world. Again, if you have not had your chance to get your hands on this book, highly recommend it. Grab the ebook, buy a used copy. It's so worth it. All right. Mark Rutland says, "Heroism in the face of danger may be a momentary burst of instinct, but it may not be reflective of true character." And so that hero, that man or woman who jumps out into action, may seem to have courage, but really they were brave, and they may not actually truly have character, the character trait of courage. Courage is not the feeling of fearlessness. We talked about that as well, that courage seems like being fearless. It's acting with zero fear at all. But the truth is that courage and heroism are not exactly synonymous. And we need to be careful because it's easy to confuse prudence with cowardice. And that's extremely dangerous. Somebody tell me what prudence is. What is prudence? Caution. Yeah. What was the second thing you said? Wisdom. Yes. Someone else? Kind of summed it up. Courage is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason, as Merriam-Webster defines it. And his second definition is caution and circumspection as to danger or risk. And so sometimes we see a person who is being prudent and is taking caution and assessing a risk, and sometimes can mistake that for being cowardly, because they're not acting in fearlessness, when in fact, they're acting with real caution, and they're acting with reason, and they're acting with wisdom. And so it's not a feeling of fearlessness. It takes courage to act with caution, doesn't it? Courage is not taking on all or any danger without fear. Courage is moving forward in what we know is right, when we know it is right. Not necessarily just jumping into it and being fearless, or I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway. But it's moving forward in those things that we might be afraid of, but we're moving forward and we're doing it because we know that it's right, because we've assessed the situation and we know that this is what God is telling us what to do, or his word. It lines up with his word, and his word is telling us to do that. And finally, courage is not the distinct, or something that we need to understand, is that the distinction between a hero and an obnoxious show-off is character. The distinction between a hero and an obnoxious show-off, it's kind of hard to say all those vowels in a row, and an obnoxious show-off is character. Got that picture in your mind of that person that just like, hey, look at this, like, let me just show you what I can do on this motorcycle, or let me show you how like high up off of this cliff I can jump, or whatever. Big, brave moment, and we're like, oh, look at them, they have courage. No. they're stupid, right? But a true hero is someone who acts with that true courage, with a true understanding of the authentic, that it's that authentic act of self-sacrificial concern. It's that action that comes out of a conviction rather than a feeling in the moment, rather than a desire to show off or say, look what I can do. It's that willingness to deny me and deny my flesh and do what is right and what is noble according to God's word, no matter what the cost. And so that's what courage is, what courage is not. Justin Lindsay's going to come, and he's going to show us what does courage do. Give it up for Justin.
I got to make sure I get done on time. Bonnie done threatened my life, so. I love you, Bonnie. And I'm going to sit. So Courtney did just got to doing a great job of telling us what it is and what it's not. And I want to talk about what courage does and what different kinds of courage. But I want to start with a little story. That's a story of a guy that I know. Just picture this in your mind. He's 5 years old, and he's part of a family, and all of a sudden his mom leaves. And he's raised just by his dad. It's just his dad, and it's his dad and this younger brother. And as life goes on, his mom completely just decides to walk away from his life. And that leaves a mark on somebody. And so years and years go by, 25 years, 20 years goes by, then 25 years, and there's no connection. There is no relationship with the mom. And then this individual ends up becoming a pastor. And through his identity, through his personality, through who he is, he separates himself from his mother mentally because he says, you know, he says, if she doesn't have enough love of a mother to be, I've had my dad all my life, I'm just going to go live over here. And then the Holy Spirit convicts this individual. Holy Spirit convicts him and says, you know what? He says, I need you to make the step and the leap of faith. I need you to go talk to your mom. After 25 years, and you can imagine this pastor, this boy that's grown up to be a man without the influence of his mom, and he says, hang on, God, you want me to go talk to my mother that left me and abandoned me? And he said, yes. And a year goes by in this individual's life, and he fights it tooth and nail. And a year later, God shows up again in a real peculiar way, and he finally says, all right, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, he says, I'm going to do it. So after lots of prayer, lots of prayer from his church, lots of prayer from his family, he makes the courageous decision to go speak with his mother. And what God told him, he said, I'm not worried about the relationship right now. He said, as a pastor, he said, I need you to make the courageous decision to see if your mom has salvation. He said, you'll go in and out of prisons and crack houses and all of these other places. He says, but do you even know if your own biological mother knows me? So this individual goes, sits down, sets an appointment, finds her, goes in and sits down with her. Now, the reason I tell you this story is because this story is my brother. And I tell you this because his courage, what it did was ignited the courage of my mother to stand up and say, you know what? I screwed up for 30 years. The courage of my brother said, he made the courage, because you want to talk about courage to step out and go talk to a woman that has left you for so long, has nothing to do with you, and the time he has tried to contact her has been denied, show up on her front doorstep, and not ask about her being a mother, but ask about her salvation. And through these events, it exposed his courage, which allowed him to be honest and allowed him to tell her what she has done in to his life, but it gave her the ability to be courageous to step up and say, I'm sorry, and ask for forgiveness. And now, because of the courage of my brother, I have a relationship with my mom after 20 years. That's what courage does. Courage opens up the pathway to allow the other characteristics in our life to be exposed. So what does courage do? Courage is the first and the greatest element of character. We looked at a definition of character earlier, and I actually looked up the Webster definition today, and it said, the definition of it says, one of the attributes or features that makes up and distinguishes an individual. We have different characteristics. And he's saying, and he's basically saying, said that courage is the first and greatest attribute or feature that makes up and sets us apart as individuals. That's profound to me, the fact that courage is the very catalyst that sets up our characteristics that our other attributes may show through. Because of what the courage of my brother, it showed the humility of my mother and the shame of my mother that we were able to work through Christ, but it took courage, because without courage, he would have went up there with the wrong heart. He would have went up there with the wrong intentions. So courage is the very catalyst that began this process. And so it takes courage to act on virtue. It don't take bravery. It doesn't take zeal or charisma. It takes courage to act on virtue. See, my brother has considered himself a virtuous man, but his virtuosity should, per se, got tested when God said, here, I'm calling you to do something that you're not obligated to do. I'm calling you to bridge a gap that's not your fault. I'm calling you to be a catalyst in someone else's life that abandoned you, but I love her just as much as I love you. She's my daughter just like you're my son. And so it takes courage to act on virtue or character. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. But, anytime you hear but, and about, it's a shift. So he's saying it doesn't make, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the spirit of God, there should be nothing timid. Being timid and being fearful is two different things. Being timid is lack of confidence in Christ when you're doing something Christ has called you to do. And he's saying, my spirit doesn't give you the, it doesn't call you to be timid. It says, but it gives you power, love, and self-discipline. It took power, it took love, and it took lots of self-discipline for my brother to show up on her front doorstep. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, it says, but be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. It says stand, it says be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. This is a daily action. Courage is a daily action. Courage doesn't mean you're jumping off an airplane fighting for this country. Courage is standing up and being a man of God for your family. Courage is being the employee that you should be. Courage is serving the church like God called you to serve the church. Courage is being the dad that you should be, or the brother and sister in Christ. That's what courage is. And courage should be walked out and displayed on a daily basis. And like I said a while ago, and this is so neat to me, courage is the catalytic agent that summons every other virtue into action in the face of temptation or crisis. The catalytic agent. I'm a painter, okay? And I've been painting for 20-something years. I paint motorhomes. And when we mix our clear coat, which is the protective coating, there's three components that create this very strong, durable product that is a necessity to ensure the longevity of our paint. And the very thing that makes all of these three components kick together and become one is the catalyst. It is actually called catalyst. The catalyst for clear. Fiberglass is the same way. It's interwoven fibers, and then you put the catalyst in it, and it becomes pretty much a wall. So it's the catalyst that kicks and creates the action that makes everything happen. Well, courage is the catalyst, or the thing that puts into motion, the agent that summons every other virtue. So every other virtue and characteristics that we have in our life will be engaged and put into action through courage. In the book that Courtney just read, And after reading just a little bit of this, I do encourage you to get this. I want to read something. It says, a contractor agreed to build a house for a certain amount. The contract that called for top-grade materials became unprofitable when a sudden, unexpected rise in the cost of material caught up and many other contractors by surprise. It says, if he fulfilled the contract as signed, he knew he would lose money. He also knew he would use lower grades of materials and get away with it. It probably would not even make much difference in the quality of the house. Now, the obvious issue was honesty. He knew the honest thing to do, but his honesty would cost him his profit margin. It required tremendous courage for him to act honestly. Honesty is a virtue resident, but it takes courage to put in action. It took him courage to step up and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. It took him courage to say, you know what, the right way to handle this is to stay by my word. That's where the honesty come through. That was the characteristic of honesty come out of his courage to say, I'm not going to do, even what they don't know. They can't see the wood behind the brick. They can't see this foundation. They don't, and it'll probably never affect it. But because I told them I'm going to do A, it takes courage to stay with option A when option A costs you. When option B isn't what you stated, isn't what you stood by, but it benefits you, well, that's not courage. Courage is option A to say, you know what? You're going to get what I told you you're going to get. I said I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this no matter what it costs me, like Courtney said a while ago. So let's look at the different kinds of courage. There's momentary courage. So what are, and let's, I want to ask for some examples, but let me give you a definition first. It says, in the face of temptation, you choose, we have choice, to act and or react with Christ-like character rather than respond and behave sinfully. A situation arises that tempts you to go against your moral and ethical code or your Christ-like character. But you choose to do what's right when no one is watching instead of what feeds your sinful desire. So what are some instances when we can display momentary courage? Anybody? I'll get it started. Men, just say your wife's asleep and the kid's asleep and something's on the TV that, and all of a sudden something pops up. You're not. It takes courage to say, no. That's not who God called me to be. Your wife's asleep. Your kids are in bed. But all of a sudden something pops up on the TV, and your sinful flesh says, yeah. Push play right there. But it takes courage to say, no. That's not what God or who God has called me to be. Nobody ever knows that but Christ. Nobody knows the decision you made but you and God. That's courage. What are some other ones? Other instances of momentary courage. Chandler?
I would say not joining into conversations that you know are not right.
That's really good. You know what's awesome about that? The great thing about that is now you're beginning to take the catalyst away from a situation. So you have to add catalyst in order for it to work. But you walk up to a group of guys that are talking about something that they or a group of people in general that are talking about something they shouldn't talk about. When you remove yourself in a courageous way and walk away, even though you're going to get talked about probably, you are beginning to remove catalyst from a situation. Anybody else? Didn't you have your hand raised? No? Thought I seen somebody else. Anybody else? Okay. Let's look at an ongoing courage, and then we'll come back to that. So ongoing daily courage is those who stand up day after day under withering criticism who need a far greater kind of courage than a once-in-a-lifetime hero. It's you can't be Superman. You know, you can't all of a sudden walk into a phone booth and step out and say, that's not courage. Okay, that's not what defines courage. What courage is let's say the guy that cuts you off in traffic, and I'm being serious with a Timber Creek logo on the back of your car. That's the reason why so many don't put that Timber Creek logo on the back of your car, I know. But it takes courage to represent something. It takes courage. I mean, we are an extension of God's house. We are His church. So regardless of that sticker's on the back or whatever sticker's on there, we represent something. We represent the body of Christ. And so our character has to show up through courage of saying, you know what? Go ahead. I'll back up, slow my life down because obviously you got somewhere you got to be. Or what about that argument with the coworker, and you know you're right? It takes two to argue. It takes courage to walk away from a situation where you know you're right, but to walk away and be able to display a new virtue of self-control through courage of saying, you know what? I'm going to remove myself from this situation. So now we've removed the catalyst from a bad situation. We're displaying self-control. And he thinks he has the upper hand, but now you've won. Because now you have the power because you have removed yourself from a situation that is not going to allow you to display God-like characteristics. When you boss, or let's go to the spiritual leadership side of it. What if your spiritual leadership has come and has to chastise you for this or chastise you for that, and they're doing it out of love? It takes courage to accept that and say, you know what, you're right, and I need to work on that in my life. That's something that I need to address. One of the hardest things for me to do, and most of y'all know my story here, is when me and my wife were divorced, was for me to say, you know what, I did a lot of things wrong, and maybe I need some help. That was one of the hardest things I ever did, but it was probably one of the most courageous things I ever did because it was one of the things that set into motion the proper catalyst to restoring my marriage. Was for me to stand up and say, you know what, I'm wrong. I messed up. And we need to find the proper catalyst to insert into this situation in order that we may obtain the goal God's calling us to do, and that's having a kingdom marriage. And so I had to remove a bad catalyst and insert a good catalyst in order that, and that catalyst was courage. That was tough because I was a very prideful person, very prideful. It was very hard for me to look my wife in the face and say, you know what, I did some things wrong. It was hard for me to look our pastor in the face and say, I messed up. It was hard for me to sit down and say, maybe we need some counseling. As a man, that's tough. But I tell you what, it's changed my life. And it's changed a lot of other people's life. So daily ongoing courage. Here's Mark Ruthland says, it says, courage extended in an enduring crisis is character's most painful and most profound engraver. It's painful because it's hard to be courageous, but it's profound because it leaves an everlasting mark on your life. An engraver is basically a tattooist with metal. So it leaves an everlasting mark on your life when we decide to be courageous. I want to read out of this book just for a second about an example of what I would call probably one of the most profound examples of daily courage. Now follow along, I'll go through this pretty quick. He said, Mom, I don't want to do this. She said, Son, I know. Please let me stay home with you, please. He said, Mother, I'll be good. She could see that his eyes were brimming with tears. 10 is such a tender age, not one at which a boy should have to deal with things like this. His lips trembled and he clutched at her sleeve. It's not a matter of being good, Sean. You're always good. It's about your life. How long can you stay with me? Do you know what I want you to do? He said, do you know that I want you to stay with me? Says, I'd love to keep you right beside me all day, every day. She said, that would make me very happy, but it would also make me selfish. He said, no, Sean, you have to go back to school and back to the real life. He said, Mom, I'm afraid. He was so small, so frail, and so defenseless against a stupid, cruel world full of stupid, cruel children. She said, Son, I know. And he asked her, he said, is it okay to be afraid? She said, yes, son, it is. It's okay to be scared. There's nothing wrong with fear. We're going to deal with fear. It's how we address that fear is the issue. He says, I don't want to do this. She said, that's all right too. It's not the wanting to or in the feeling brave. It's in the doing it anyway. It's in the doing the right thing. Do you think they'll laugh at me? She hesitated, wondering how much he could take from her. Some will, Sean. Some will stare. Others will ask idiotic questions, and some will try to help and be friendly and won't know how. A sob, a sigh, really a wet, lonely sigh, deep and full of pain, racked his thin frame. She longed to clutch him to her breast to protect him from this terrible thing, to drive away and keep driving. She clutched the steering wheel and fought to keep from screaming. She said, Son, do you want me to help you get out? He said, No, they're watching. She said, Son, I'm proud of you. He didn't answer but fumbled instead for the door handle. The car at the curb honked and she struggled to suppress her rage. What did they want her to do? Push him out on his face? The car door swung open and Sean hoisted himself out, bracing for a moment on the metal crutches and then hefting his weight up onto the curb. With the left crutch, he slammed the door and turned to face the knot of children on the school's front step. For a moment, they stared at each other across an uncrossable gulf of desperate experience. Her little son remembering what it was like to have legs, and other people's sons and daughters wondering what it was like not to. At last, he started toward them, away from her, from the safety of her, swinging his prosthetic leg with his crutches. That's courage. 10-year-old boy having to face his biggest fear, and that's his peers. But like I said a while ago, to me, his mom had to show just as much courage as him. His mom had to love him enough and show him enough courage to say, son, I know it's tough right now, but what's on the other side of this, I promise you, you'll get it one day. So many times God calls us to do that very thing. He calls us to put our feet on the edge of a cliff and say, I know this is tough. I know walking through this valley is going to take courage. I know climbing this mountain is going to take courage. I know serving here, loving that person, doing this for this family, doing this for over, it's going to take courage. But if you will trust me, what's on the other side of this, I promise you, you'll understand. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. God, I thank you for you being the epitome of courage. God, you didn't want to climb up on that cross to the point that you asked your father, is there any other way to do this? And when he said, no, son, I need you to be courageous, you picked up our cross. You took it to Calcutta, and then you climbed up that we may be saved. God, you display courage the entirety of your walk, and God, you do it daily with us now. And we thank you that your spirit gives us the courage, God, to continue to do the good work that you started in us, the work of the good work of telling the people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, our group work. So, if you will, look at the examples, these different kinds of courage in the Bible, 1 Samuel 14, Genesis 6 and 9 through 22, and answer the questions on, like Samuel, is what is happening in the story and what type of courage is being used and so forth. And then we'll have about 10 minutes, Court. Have about 10 minutes to do this, and then me and Court will come back up here and we'll go over it. Okay, let's kind of go through these, and we want to kind of see what y'all come up with. I was glad to see y'all buzzing at whatever was going on. Y'all got y'all pretty talkative. That's great. So in 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 3, what's happening in this story? Ma'am? Yeah, and Samuel. Yes, that's exactly what's going on. What type of courage is being used here, and how? Momentary. How was it? How was it momentary? I mean, why is it momentary? Not just being momentary. Why?
It's like
that's right. You got to go. It's time to go. Okay. Anybody else have anything on that? That y'all saw that was different, or is that all all the general consensus?
Anything stand out to you guys in that story?
Well, the part where they saw where the Philistines saw the Hebrews coming out the holes on the ground. They thought they saw that, and it was just the two.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
You need somebody to mow your yard, Michelle. I hear Chandler ain't busy. If my whole yard could be concrete, that would be great for me. Yeah, I could put a backpack blower on my kids and cut them loose. Yeah, grass is so overrated. All right, anybody else on that one? We'll move on to the next one. What about the next one in Genesis? What's happening in this story?
Noah's building the ark for a long time.
Long time. That's a big old boat. You put lots of fish on that boat, Chandler. Lots of fish. What type of courage is being used here? That's pretty obvious. I mean, because that's... Go ahead, Bonnie.
I was just going to say, to be honest, the way society and the world was going at the time, it was so bad. The evil, the violence, everything. And for him and his family to live a godly life, that took tons of courage. Not just to build the ark, but just even that alone is just amazing.
Oh, there's no doubt. Well, you know what?
You know
oh, yeah. Until the end. And they're like, oh, whoa. No, ain't that stupid. What else? Anybody else get anything out of that one that stuck out to them? You know what sticks out to me on that story is the courage it took for him to hear that word from God and be like, there's daily courage in building the boat, no doubt. But for him to hear that word from God and be like, excuse me? I've never built a boat in my life. And you want me to build a... That takes some serious courage and serious faith to step out there and say, okay, God, and build that boat. So that's one of the things that really sticks out to me.
Bonnie, what you brought up was so good in that he was living for God. And the Bible says that he was like the only person that was really living for God in that time. And so you think about it. From that perspective, it was his whole life, his lifestyle, the life that he spent living for God each day that prepared him for the moment where he had to hear from God and decide in that moment, I'm going to respond to what God says, and then I'm going to build this boat that's going to put me even more under the ridicule of probably everyone around him. It's going to make him stand out even more to all of these people. And so it was that lifestyle that prepared him for that moment that, I mean, ultimately is the reason that people are still on the earth today, right? Exactly.
What? Excuse me? God told you what? The courage of his wife to have to say,
yeah.
Okay, I'll stand behind you in this, whatever.
Yeah, it's good.
As a female, knowing the two of every animal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey, it was commitment for his whole family. His whole family had to make that commitment. Let's talk a little bit about the question for reflection. Now, this is a personal question, but does anybody have anything on that they would like to share? Going once, going twice. All right. Let's take a look, guys, at your homework. This week we have another verse to memorize, Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So great verse. We're actually going to be walking through, I think we started 1 or 2 weeks ago, but it's kind of walking through the Romans road, which is walks you through basically the path of salvation. So such important verses for everyone to know. So we want to make sure that you guys have those memorized. And then we're going to dive even more into Romans. Such a good book. You guys are reading a couple of my favorite chapters. Romans 8 is one of my favorites. So you guys will be reading that this week. So dive in. Explore God's word, apply it to your life, bring back things to talk about next week. And then we also just want to remind you guys, if you don't already know, this is week 6, so we are officially halfway through the semester. There are 6 weeks left, and so I just want to thank all of you guys for being faithful to this. I know that it is a commitment. You guys have other things going on and kids that have activities and different things and full-time jobs, and you guys are making a commitment to be here every single week so that you can grow in Christ and so that you can draw closer to him and experience more of all that he has for you. And so continue that commitment. Finish strong. There's so much more that you guys are going to learn through this. And then coming up next is Grow Track 3 next semester. And let me just tell you, like, what God is doing over there in that group, it's just amazing to see so far. I've gotten to hear about it during the week from some of our team. And it's just the level, once you, like this Grow Track 2 prepares you for going so much deeper in there, and there's such an excitement that's in that room. And so I'm excited for you guys to get to experience that next semester. And so finish strong. We're really excited to see all that God has in store for each and every one of you. We love you guys, and have a great week.